In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, come to my assistance. O Lord, please save us. Come among us, otherwise we perish. Without you, we perish. Almighty God, be our salvation. Be our salvation. Teach us to pray as we must. Within your will, O Lord, all things are established, and there is nothing that can resist your will. You have made all things, the heaven and the earth, and all that is held within the circle of heaven. You are the Lord of all. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving and sing joyful songs to the Lord. Within your will, O Lord, all things are established, and there is none that can resist your will. For you have made all things, the heaven and the earth, and all that is held within the circle of heaven. You are the Lord of all. The Lord is God, the mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs to him, the dry land too, for it was formed by his hands. Within your will, O Lord, all things are established, and there is none that can resist your will. Come then, let us bow down and worship, bending the knee before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are his people, the flock he shepherds. Within your will, O Lord, all things are established, and there is none that can resist your will. Today, listen to the voice of the Lord. Do not grow stubborn as your fathers did in the wilderness, when at Meribah and Menizah they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works. Within your will, O Lord, all things are established, and there is none that can resist your will. 40 years I endured that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. Within your will, O Lord, is our peace. Within your will, O Lord, all things are established, and there is none that can resist your will. For you made all things, and all is held. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Whoever humbles himself like a little child will be greater in the kingdom of heaven. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor haughty my eyes. I have not gone after things too great, nor marvels beyond me. Truly I have set my soul in silence and peace, as a child has rest in his mother's arms. Even so, my soul. O Israel, hope in the Lord, both now and forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Whoever humbles himself like a little child will be greater in the kingdom of heaven. Help us to be like this little child, Lord. In honor of Mary's gifts, pour out your mercy to make up for what we dread to ask for, and to teach us your blessed ways. We dread to repent sometimes. We dread and we fear changing. Most precious blood of Jesus Christ, save us and the whole world. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So yesterday, I believe we finished St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. And now God invites us or calls us to read another inspired letter of Paul. And some scholars say that Paul didn't really write it. There's an interesting case suggesting that perhaps his disciples wrote it kind of in the same spirit, that certain aspects of the book of Moses could have been added to over time. But in any case, this is Paul's voice echoing through Scripture. I personally think he did write it. but we're going to read now from the very beginning of the first letter of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. The mission of Timothy, Paul, a preacher of the gospel, is the caption the church has chosen. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God our Savior, and Christ Jesus our hope. To Timothy, my own true child in faith, may grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I repeat the directives I gave you when I was on my way to Macedonia. Stay on in Ephesus in order to warn certain people there against teaching false doctrines and busying themselves with interminable myths and genealogies which promote idle speculations rather than training in faith, which God requires. What we are aiming at in this warning is the love that springs from a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. Some people have neglected these and instead have turned to meaningless talk, wanting to be teachers of the law, but actually not understanding the words they are using, much less the matters they discuss with such assurance. We know that the law is good, provided one uses it in the way law is supposed to be used. That is, with the understanding that it is aimed not at good men, but at the lawless and unruly, the irreligious and the sinful, the wicked and the godless, men who kill their fathers or mothers, murderers, fornicators, sexual perverts, kidnappers, liars, perjurers, and those who in other ways flout the sound teaching that pertains to the glorious gospel of God. Blessed be he with which I have been entrusted. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, that he has made me his servant and judged me faithful. I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, a man filled with arrogance, but because I did not know what I was doing in my unbelief, I have been treated mercifully, and the grace of our Lord has been granted to me in overflowing measure, along with the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. You can depend on this as worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Of these I myself am the worst. But on that very account, I was dealt with mercifully, so that in me as an extreme case, Jesus Christ might display all his patience, and that I might become an example to those who would later have faith in him and gain everlasting life. To the King of ages, the immortal, the invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I have a solemn charge to give you, Timothy, my child. This charge is in accordance with the prophecies made in your regard, and I give it to you so that under the inspiration of these prophecies, you may fight the good fight and hold fast to faith and a good conscience. Some men, by rejecting the guidance of conscience, have made shipwreck of their faith. Among them, high men Arius and Alexander, whom I have turned over to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Responsory prayer. The grace of the Lord has been poured forth upon me in great abundance and has filled me with faith and love. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. All men have sinned and are deprived of God's glory. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Our second reading is from the Pastoral Guide by St. Gregory the Great, Pope. A spiritual guide should be silent when discretion requires, and speak when words are of service. Otherwise, he may say what he should not, or be silent when he should speak. Indiscreet speech may lead men into error, and an imprudent silence may leave in error those who could have been taught. Pastors who lack foresight hesitate to say openly what is right, because they fear losing the favor of men. As the voice of truth tells us, such leaders are not zealous pastors who protect their flocks, Rather, they are like mercenaries who flee by taking refuge in silence when the wolf appears. The Lord reproaches them through the prophet. They are dumb dogs that cannot bark. On another occasion, he complains, "You did not advance against the foe or set up a wall in front of the house of Israel, so that you might stand fast in battle on the day of the Lord." To advance against the foe involves a bold resistance to the powers of this world in defense of the flock. To stand fast in battle on the day of the Lord means to oppose the wicked enemy out of love for what is right. When a pastor has been afraid to assert what is right, has he not turned his back and fled by remaining silent? Whereas if he intervenes on behalf of the flock, he sets up a wall against the enemy in front of the house of Israel. Therefore, the Lord again says to his unfaithful people, "Your prophets saw false and foolish visions and did not point out your wickedness, that you might repent of your sins." The name of prophet is sometimes given in the sacred writings to teachers who both declare the present to be fleeting and reveal what is to come. The word of God accuses them of seeing false visions because they are afraid to reproach men for their faults and thereby lull the evildoer with an empty promise of safety. Because they fear reproach, they keep silent and fail to point out the sinner's wrongdoing. The word of reproach is a key that unlocks a door, because reproach reveals a fault of which the evildoer is himself often unaware. That is why Paul says of the bishop, "He must be able to encourage men in sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it." For the same reason, God tells us through Malachi, "The lips of the priest are to preserve knowledge, and men shall look to him while for the law, for he is the messenger of the Lord of armies." Finally, that is also the reason why the Lord warns us through Isaiah, "Cry out and do not be still. Raise your voice in a trumpet call." Anyone ordained a priest undertakes the task of preaching, so that with a loud cry he may go on ahead of the terrible judge who follows. If then a priest does not know how to preach, what kind of cry can such a dumb herald utter? It was to bring this home that the Holy Spirit descended in the form of tongues on the first pastors, for he causes those whom he has filled to speak out spontaneously. "I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall return to you. My tongue shall sing of your justice. Open my lips, O Lord, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise." My tongue shall sing of your justice. So again, it's a very intense letter, and it's really worth it for you, I think, to go back and read this passage that we were given by the church from the beginning of the letter of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, chapter 1. This is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. Because I think if you reflect on it, our Lord will speak to you personally, as well as maybe teach you and give you some ideas about what makes this letter so important that it was passed on and on as inspired scripture again and again. And of course, this guy, St. Gregory the Great, in the tradition, he's preaching about how he's preaching about what it means to be a watchman, to be a shepherd, especially from the perspective of the prophetic ministry of Christ. And he's praying that just like the Holy Spirit descended on the apostles, the first pastors of the church at Pentecost, his priests will also be led by the Holy Spirit to speak out spontaneously, or to speak out in a way that preaches, and it is guided by the Holy Spirit. It's more of like a prophetic type of teaching that's guided by the Holy Spirit to address specific questions in a much more powerful way. And of course, the prayer here acknowledges that we are sinners. It's from Psalm 51. It says, "I will also teach," so it's acknowledging of sinners, "but also I will teach transgressors your ways." And again, one of the reasons I really don't think the historical critical guys from the 60s and 70s were right to say that because Paul concentrates on some different things and he uses different vocabulary and different word structure and stuff, oh, it must not be Paul. It's just because, honestly, first off, the apostolic authorship of an apostolic letter is not handled the same way something like the Pentateuch was. So Pentateuch comes together over, you know, 500-600 years. And at first it was, you know, close to the Iron Age when they put together the five books of Moses. So writing wasn't a big thing. Letters weren't a big thing. So as a result, a lot of your Pentateuch stories actually are passed down from generation to generation before anyone ever in the time of Judges or maybe even on the time of the monarchy tried to write this down. So you've got to realize that about them. But in, you know, the early church was very careful to make sure that something was traceable to an apostle or a disciple, immediate disciple of the apostles, in order for it to be considered part of the New Testament. And even though the historical critical guys like to link this with other types of writing, like the apostolic constitutions and the teaching of the 12 apostles and certain other types of church, they're called church order documents because they give these authoritative prescriptions for how a Catholic or a Christian church needs to be set up, especially in light of their own situation. And 1 Timothy is very similar to that in the sense that it's giving us this authoritative wisdom about how we ought to live as a church. It's kind of like, it is a lot like the church order documents. But, you know, even though those church order documents later on do have this pseudo-anonymous style, they do put things on the lips of Barnabas and Paul, and, you know, they attribute things. But in Paul's own time, they were very concerned about the authority, and the authority was tied to who actually wrote the letter, okay? So, like, if this is written in the spirit of Paul, I really don't know why the author is spending words on all this personal stuff, basically, you know, even if, you know, maybe Timothy's there and want to link with Timothy's authority and blah, 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 you know, look at these things. Talking about Paul's biography, why talk about, you can depend on this is worthy of full acceptance, I'm the worst of sinners. Like, why, if this is one of Paul's disciples, I mean, there could be a reason, it just seems a little weird to me. For the historical critical side. But anyway, like you said, it's talking about the law and everything. So let's try to wrap this up since it's already getting late at night for me. And, oh yeah, Faustina. We have to read Faustina's. So let's take a look at that. It's her heavenly birthday today. And we want to get the second reading for the Office of Readings. Even if it's not 100%, like, you know, I guess authorized, I still want to celebrate with Faustina's second reading. A reading from the Diary of St. Faustina. Oh my God, I am conscious of my mission in the Holy Church. It is my constant endeavor to plead for mercy for the world. I unite myself closely with Jesus and stand before him as an atoning sacrifice on behalf of the world. God will refuse me nothing when I entreat him with the voice of his Son. My sacrifice is nothing in itself. But when I join it to the sacrifice of Christ Jesus, it becomes all-powerful and has the power to appease divine wrath. God loves us in his Son. The painful passion of the Son of God constantly turns aside the wrath of God. O God, see how I desire that souls come to know you and to see that you have created them because of your unfathomable love. O my Creator and Lord, I feel that I am going to remove the veil of heaven so that the earth will not doubt your goodness. Make me, Jesus, a pure and agreeable offering before the face of the Father. Jesus, transform me, miserable and sinful as I am, into your own self, for you can do all things. Your own self, for you can do all things. And give me to your eternal Father. I want to become a sacrificial host before you, but an ordinary wafer to people. I want the fragrance of my sacrifice to be known to you alone. O eternal God, an unquenchable fire of supplication, for your mercy burns within me. I know and understand that this is my task, here and in eternity, You yourself have told me to speak about this great mercy and about your goodness. Listen to the petitions of your servant and of your people, and when you have heard, pardon. Forgive your people who have sinned against you, and when you have heard, pardon. O God, who in a wondrous manner revealed the inexhaustible riches of your mercy to Saint Maria Faustina, grant, we beseech you, that by looking with trust upon the purest side of your Son, we may be strengthened to show mercy to one another, and at length sing your praises, the praises of your mercy forever in heaven, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Again, we had a really beautiful gospel. We'll read you a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord replied, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your servant, who had just come in from ploughing or sending sheep in the field, come here immediately and take your place at table? Would he not rather say to him, prepare something for me to eat, put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink? You may eat and drink when I am finished. Is he grateful to that servant because he did what was commanded? It should be, so it should be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And our final prayer from Mass was, Almighty, ever-living God, who in the abundance of your kindness surpass the merits and desires of those who entreat you, pour out your mercy upon us to pardon what conscience dreads and to give what prayer does not dare to ask. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever, we pray for our Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV, Robert Provost. Pray for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Pray for God's help. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I offer my plenary indulgence for the soul in purgatory. May he or she be released and helped according to God's will and the Church's abilities. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Church's authorities.